Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm good. I've got my head in a box. It is a Tuesday we were recording this, and I'm hoping that my week is going to get just that little bit more exciting.
Adventure and excitement every turn, except it's not when you're indoors. How are you keeping busy?
How am I keeping busy? I drank a lot of gin on Friday and Saturday nights. Chris, I've completely depleted my reserves of cans of Fanta. So that's kind of how my Friday and Saturday went, even though I made a solemn, not promise, that I wouldn't drink at home because I found it quite boring. But I managed to watch a film about a man who was accused of bombing the Atlanta Olympic celebrations last night. And that's about it, pretty much. I tried to play a few old Japanese video games on a Dreamcast emulator. That went badly because all video games in the past were really hard, and I'm rubbish at video games. And I merely finished the DLC in the video game Control. So, thumbs up all round. Oh, yes, Final Fantasy VII, the remake. You know, they've remade that one from the game that came out in the 90s that everyone got very excited about because it was full of full motion video and stuff like that. Well, they've made a remake of it, and I've been busting through that, JRPG fans, and they've done a lovely job on it. The way that it seamlessly blends between full motion video and the actual action itself is incredible. Obviously, full motion video was something that was very big in the original, but obviously, technically, it wasn't quite as good. This game looks stunning, and I can never tell what's been pre-recorded, what's actually in the game itself. It's 10 thumbs up. 10 thumbs up from me.
You know what? I have never... Final Fantasy is like the one series, the one game series I've never, ever like seen or come near or come close to. I don't know why that is.
Well, it's the only game. Final Fantasy VII was the only Final Fantasy I'd ever played back in the day. So when I got the opportunity to play the new one, I thought, "Oh my god, I actually kind of remember a little bit of this." Not
is it
that
an RPG?
Much, to be quite frank. It is an RPG, but obviously this time around, the turn-based strategy stuff a little bit. The turn-based battling is a little bit tedious for people, so they've switched. If you want to go to like live battle, like Dark Souls.
What I find funny is, I think it was last week or the week before, one of the things we discussed is how we don't drink at home because we don't like it. Seems only took another week for you to break that rule and become a very new person, destroy everything you believed
in. I'm so lonely.
That is quite. Well, I don't know if you've painted a picture that's either quite optimistic and great, you know, sitting at home, keeping busy, playing games, having fun, or a bit bleak, you know, sitting in the corner, drinking some gin. Final Fantasy in hand. I don't know how to interpret it, really.
It's not too bad. I mean, well, I've become an excellent... I've not become an excellent cook, but I have been going to the Japanese supermarket and buying a lot of ingredients I don't understand and then just throwing them in a pan. And kind of influenced by the wrestler Asuka's Kana-chan's... YouTube page where she just sits in her backyard that is like a government compound and just cooks delicious meals. So I could do that. I can stick stuff in a pot.
So you're becoming a world-class chef in your time indoors.
Exactly. I'm learning skills. Learning them skills.
I would be lying if I said I was in. If I was becoming a better chef. Do you know what I'm having for dinner tonight? Can you guess? Can you guess what I'm having for dinner?
Birthday Sorry cake. After this.
Not birthday cake. Although I am 30 in like a day, so that's exciting. But I'm having cheese and crackers. That is literally my dinner.
Cheese and crackers. Is it the kind of crackers and cheese that you'd buy at 7-Eleven? Because you got to be careful. No. I once bought what I thought was brie, bit into it, butter. Not good.
Oh, no. I've after being here 7 years, I've finally been able to acquire some good cheese. I don't make the mistake of eating butter that looks like brie. I managed to find some British cheddar, some Red Leicester in a shop. It costs like $20, £20 for like the smallest slice. Like it's a bite-sized piece of cheese. But that is that is my treat to myself. That is my exotic special dinner. And it's going to be served on half a dozen Ritz cracker biscuits. And that's my dinner. It's pretty bleak, isn't it?
It is bleak because it's really expensive and you don't get much. And also British cheese is the worst cheese. So what are you doing with your life?
Whoa. Sort it out, Donaldson. Sort it out. Well, let's be fair, brie in the UK isn't good. Anyone that says Somerset brie is good, show me a good brand because I've yet to find one. Anyway.
Yeah, everyone just sort of turns into Dr. Dre, that gin and cheese he's always talking about in his songs.
Dr. Dre's gin and cheese. It's pretty, that's never a good thing, is it? But there you go. Let's deal with that. But no, it is my 30th birthday this week. And do you know what I've got for my birthday? I've got my car. Still haven't got it, though. Still haven't got it, ladies and gentlemen.
Have the police not come round and measured your little parking space?
Well, that's the thing, right? Last week I said the police come round, measure your car parking space. You have to prove that you've got a car parking space to get a car. But I don't know if they've been or not. I did see a police car lurking out the front of my apartment earlier today.
Right.
But I didn't see any policemen measuring anything. So whether they've come or not remains to be seen. I don't actually know.
How do you get an alert? Do you get an alert on your phone saying, we've been... or something. I can't figure
it
out.
They basically contact the car dealer and then the car dealer will ring you up in a few days and be like, police have checked that you've got a car parking space. Come and get your bloody car. So surreal. So surreal.
Love it.
Well, it's nearly within my grasp. Yeah. But the other bit of news this week, Ryotaro surprised me by announcing that he's launching his own YouTube channel.
Outrageous.
Traitor. Jesus. I know,
what's
right?
What's he like? What's he all about?
It's the second Abroad in Japan betrayal since you started your own YouTube channel as well.
Did I really? I've done two videos in 2 years.
Betrayal.
That's hardly a YouTube channel, is it, Chris?
Judas Iscariot himself. No, I don't mind. I actually encouraged him to do it for years because I thought, you know, we only make videos when we're together and often we're not together. And he has a lot of free time. And I don't know what he's going to do with the channel. He isn't very good with cameras. He's not very good at editing. He's all right presenting. And he does have a lot of like language knowledge. So I think he's going to teach Japanese, which I think could be quite good.
That's cool.
I'll jump in every now and then and have a cameo. But could be the next step in your Japanese language learning, Pete.
Ryotaro. Nice.
Yeah.
I'd like
he wants to
know...
call it. He wanted to call it Abroad in Japanese.
Well, he's not... He can't have that. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, unless, look, franchise the name. Starbucks is Starbucks for a reason, Chris. Franchise the hell out of it. But you're going to need some of that sweet, sweet green.
Cheeky devil. But no, I said, don't do that. Not only does it sound stupid, abroad in Japanese, he was like, oh, it's clever because it sounds like your brand. I was like, that's not how things work.
You'll be hearing from my lawyer that sounds very much like an intellectual property lawyer.
Definitely. And my lawyer is Natsuki because that's all I can afford. So Natsuki will be having a stern word. But no, I did get him to change his mind. And can you guess what he's called it now at my insistence?
Oh, what would he have called? I don't know. Ryotaro on the road.
Oh, close. Ryotaro's Japan.
Nice, like it. Got a lot of time for that.
Definitely. Pretty original, pretty simple. Pretty boring, by all accounts. He could have called it Risotto Rose Life or Life in Risotto Row or something with risotto in it. I think we would have all appreciated that. But nevertheless, yeah, that's going to come out soon, this week, I think.
Oh,
so that's
lovely.
Exciting.
I'll keep an eye out.
I mean, it's kind of a bit scary. What if he gets millions of subscribers, overtakes Abroad in Japan and no longer needs me anymore? What would I do then? What would I become?
I'd probably have to just, you know, drive around in your little car, being a little Deliveroo driver or something. I don't know. Taxi driver.
Perfect. Deliveroo. I don't think Deliveroo's come to Japan. The whole bringing food to your door hasn't really kicked off here, to be honest.
Right.
Although, because of the coronavirus situation, it seems Japan has become... It started doing a lot more online shopping. People have done a lot more online shopping because that's been like quite slow to take off here. In the same way, digital music downloads haven't really happened. You know, Japan's obviously been late to that. It's quite well known that a lot of people still just buy CDs in Japan. Japan's one of the final remaining markets in the world where people still buy physical copies of albums and things.
Right.
So they've also been slow to adopt online shopping. So with the coronavirus, apparently that's changed now. A lot of people actually started to go online and do a lot more online shopping. So it could be an interesting economical thing there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Have you ever been on like Big Camera's website? It is very confusing for anyone.
even
for Japanese people, surely it's confusing.
Well, I mean, Japanese websites are famous for being absolutely terrible, really difficult to use, a real challenge to use. I hate them, and I don't know. Mm. I think the main reason is because a lot of these companies are run by like elderly gentlemen who don't understand computers or internet or anything like that. The sort of people that still use the very fax machine we use for our podcast inbox. They haven't been good to adopt like decent websites, right? So, they're awful. Even these big companies like Bitcamera, like Yodobashi Camera, their websites are just a challenge to use.
If you ever try and book a flight with a Japanese carrier, apart from a couple of notable low-cost exceptions, it's so weird, like badly done.
I mean,
British Airways can be pretty poor at times because it's clearly a very old website with a front end that looks quite sparkly and they've not really kind of like married up the two properly. So it looks a bit wonky at times. But yeah, it's interesting, very interesting using
website. It's funny you should bring that up. The British Airways website, whenever I book a flight, it looks really nice. It's kind of easy to use, but then it crashes or something goes wrong like one in three times that I use it. Whereas ANA looks atrocious. It's difficult to use, but it's reliable.
But it
like my old Toyota Starlet, it never breaks down. It just gets the job done, even if it looks like crap and it doesn't have working air conditioning. So Japanese style.
I was looking online to see if I could pick up one, but Jeff United is a Chiba-based football team. They're called the Inners, the Dogs. This shirt they released in 2016 is a little kind of like commemorative 25-year kind of job, along with Tokyo Verdy, who have a different design. But basically, Jeff United's design is a normal kit. With like, it looks like it's got scratches down the front, and behind the scratches is like dog's fur, like an Akita dog. And then if you lift up, you know, like when Ravanelli in the 90s, you probably don't remember, but you know, when footballers, when they score, they put their shirt over their heads.
Yeah, of course.
Well, Burger King released a shirt, or rather, some crappy team did a shirt. I can't remember even who it was. But when you put the shirt over your head, the Burger King face is on the underside of the shirt, so it looks like you're the Burger King. But the Akita obsessed Jeff United in Chiba, they created back in 2016 a dog one. So it's just a picture of an Akita dog. So when you score and you pull a shirt over your head, you're a dog. And I really want that shirt, but I imagine it's bloody expensive.
That is brilliant. I'm more confused by the fact it's called Jeff United. Do you mean like, I'm picturing my friend Jeff every time you say Jeff United. How's it spelled?
It's spelled J-E-F. I forget what it actually stands for. But they're based in Chiba, but it was probably an old works team. At one point, the J-League or the government said that you couldn't wholly own a football team, as like, you know, Hitachi couldn't own one, Toyota couldn't own one, and stuff like that. So they had to go in part ownership. So that's why they've all got weird names, and they're all sponsored by Nippon Ham and stuff like that.
What a sponsor to have.
What Japanese a sponsor. Ham. Or a dog.
Brilliant. Lovely. Brilliant. Well, we've got a few interesting stories this week, ladies and gentlemen. Understand, I mean, all of these stories revolve around the coronavirus in some way. I know we've tried to avoid the topic in general, but yeah. Most of these stories are kind of interesting. The first one involves violence. It's important to point out, in the last few weeks, the Japanese government obviously had a kind of emergency shutdown in major cities, and apparently most people in Tokyo are actually obeying it. I've seen a lot of photos of various hotspots like Shibuya Crossing and Yokohama that look kind of eerily empty at the moment. So that's good that people are actually listening to the government, even though the Japanese government doesn't really have any... you can't punish people in Japan for not obeying this rule. The Japanese government has no like authority like we do in the UK. Right. But people have been taking matters into their own hands. A Japanese boss punched an employee in the face who came to work after being told to stay home for potentially having the coronavirus. There was this...
Wow.
Interestingly, the story is in Yamagata Prefecture, my spiritual Japanese home and one of your favourite places, Pete. Basically.
I love that.
This 20-something employee of a construction company in Yamagata decided to go for a little trip to Sendai, which is about 2.5 hours away, obviously where I am. And so the manager told him, all right, don't come into work. There's a good chance you might have coronavirus. We can't risk it. Stay at home. Don't come in. And for whatever reason, the employee was like, no, I'll do what I want. I've been to Sendai on my holiday. I'm coming to work. So he came into work, and the manager, who's 46 years old, decided what better way to treat him a lesson by punching him in the face and striking him in the head. I also realised I just said treat him a lesson.
treat him a lesson.
It's my new favourite phrase. Teach him a lesson. By the miracle of violence.
Yeah, I mean, it's a trick you can only pull once, really, when it comes to employee discipline. But he clearly felt very strongly about the situation. I'm coming to work. No, you're not. Yes, I am. Smack.
Well, the thing is, in Japan, in this sort of situation, it's quite rare for an employee of a company to ignore their boss, right? You just don't do it.
Right.
The hierarchical structure in Japan does reign supreme. So when an employee like that disobeys a manager, it's really hugely disrespectful, plus the obvious risk of infecting people with coronavirus. So I guess you read that and think, well, kind of sympathetic, but not. I don't think that was the best course of action. He did get put under arrest for that. So probably isn't going to turn out too well for him. But
no.
let that be a lesson.
I like that the news story said that, I don't think it was you. I think it was the actual piece said, high impact disciplinary style. Very enjoyable. High
impact. So it was a high impact on his face.
Put that on your performance report. Wow.
If you're in Japan right now and your manager tells you not to come in, heed that warning. Otherwise, that could happen.
Probably not. Speaking of, maybe give Ryotaro one for setting up his own YouTube channel. did you see, Chris, that Narita Airport has just got a load of people having a snooze on some cardboard beds? What's that about?
Yeah, I don't know the ins and outs. Basically, I think people arriving in Japan, and there's still flights coming into Japan at the moment, albeit not that many at all.
Right.
And when you arrive at Narita Airport, you basically have to have a coronavirus test. And then while you're waiting for the results, you have to stay overnight at what's been dubbed the Cardboard Box Hotel. it looks surreal, you know, having passed through Narita Airport dozens and dozens of times to see it been converted into this cardboard box hotel. Like, Google it when you listen to this. Google it because the photos are incredible. The whole kind of main hallway at Narita Airport is just filled with dozens of cardboard boxes, obviously with appropriate spacing in between. And it just looks, I don't know, it looks a bit eerie.
I like the fact that it's got like a little, you get like your own little, little mattress, and you get like so you get all the amenities that you'd expect from like a capsule hotel, but everything's just kind of separated using like sort of cardboard partitions. Fascinating.
It's pretty well kitted out.
Yeah, very, very well kitted out.
I mean, those that are negative are asked to just self quarantine for 14 days, leave the airport, and just sort of just quarantine a room somewhere. But for those that are positive, I presume it's cardboard boxes. cardboard boxes for all. But yeah, really surreal situation, but probably a good course of action, to be honest, because obviously a lot of cases are people coming in from overseas. That's not the only story, though. The Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe, has decided it's a good idea to send two face masks to every household in Japan by Japan Post starting this week. Can you believe that? Face masks for everyone. Must be costly.
Well, would it be? Because I mean, it's just cloth, isn't it?
Well, 60 million households in Japan. It's quite a fair few. And they do estimate it's going to cost about 46 billion yen. And the best way to work out quickly what yen is to dollars, the best way is to just divide by 100. Although, because of the crisis, the currencies are all over the place at the moment. So we're talking like, you know, $400 million, $500 million for that. But I don't know. And this jury's still out on face masks, whether they're effective or not. Still, I'll take my two face masks. I'll have them. Get me some free face masks. Tax dollars put to good use. Tax yen put to good use. But yeah, there's a lot of people there that aren't sure if it's worth it or not. But actually, it's really hard to get masks at the moment. I was a little bit savvy. I did snap up about 100 masks, like a big, huge box of masks right at the start of the crisis. Back after we left our little Sapporo trip, I came back and I did buy some masks. But I haven't really used them because I haven't really been going out that much at the moment. So I've got a stockpile just waiting, and I'll soon be adding another two face masks to that stockpile.
Well, I had one that I bought a pack of five, I think, in Japan when I was going to see you guys. And then I think I used one of them and then I just thought this is because it was at the point in the crisis where it didn't seem that important. And the Japanese generally wear face masks for every reason anyway. So I didn't really bother. But I found one in my case when I was on my second holiday of the year. And so I was able to wear that one on the way back. So
brilliant. I mean, now you could probably sell it for a premium on the streets of London.
Right? I know.
Get out there. Sell your five masks for staggering sums of money. I mean, I think we still haven't really wrapped our head around the whole mask culture in the UK, even given the situation, right? People don't wear them, do they?
No, they really, really don't. It's just not a thing that people do. I mean, at best, if the only masks that you see people sort of wear here, they're not the surgical ones, because obviously those are prioritised for medical use.
Quite right, so.
They're mainly ones that you got free with some insecticide or something like that. That's the only mask I've got in my house, is one I got free with some moth killers.
Oh, God. That's pretty grim. I think it's just the whole image, right? I mean, I'll put my hands up and say that I have never worn a mask in Japan except one time recently, just while I was out and about in Sendai, I wore one as a precaution. But I just find it weird. I've never really liked them in the 7 years I've been here. And I've actually very rarely been sick while I've been in Japan. I've never really had much. I've never really been sick. Maybe because people wear masks here. I don't know.
Yes.
So maybe I should. But something about it just creeps me out a little bit. I remember when I was a teacher, a lot of my students would wear them, right? You'd come in, especially in winter, you'd come into school, you'd come into the classroom, and in a classroom of about 40 students, there'd be, you know, like 10 of them wearing masks. Even in summer, there'd be, you know, five or six wearing them. And they wouldn't necessarily be sick. They were just students who were shy. I remember I had one girl at one of the classes who wore it for like 2 years, and then she must have come out of her shell a bit. She started talking a lot more in class, and she sort of took it off, and it was a real turning point. It was a real character arc. Like, if that was a film, that would be the end of the movie, when she'd grown in confidence and decided, right, the mask is coming off. It's a bit like that.
Very interesting.
So I've kind of, as a teacher, I kind of see them as a way of getting out of class and being a little bit cheeky, being a little bit shy. Like, for shy students, it's a get out of jail free card, you know, wear a mask. Maybe that's why. I don't know. But I don't know. I certainly, after this, I will consider wearing them a lot more. And I did, in my coronavirus video back in February or March, I did say I wasn't sold on masks. And a lot of people went berserk in the comments. But there's still conflicting evidence on whether masks work or not. But I think if you're sick, I think it's good to wear them.
I mean, it's got to help somehow as well. I mean, like,
if you're wearing
spectacles and you've got a mask, yeah, that's about as good as casual protection gets you, I think. So keep wearing those masks, guys. If you've got them, but then. Just keep on replacing them. That's the problem. Is you got to clean them. You got to replace them. It just seems to be to stop people touching their own faces, which I do all of the time. I'm surprised I've not got sick yet. It's very very weird that I've not fallen down with it, not gone down with it, because I'm in the centre of town.
And
I'm always touching my face. I was scratching my nose.
Where do you touch your face? Just your nose?
Nose, eyes. Always rubbing my eyes constantly. I'm always biting pens. Oh, it's just ridiculous.
Oh, God. Bloody hell. Going to avoid you next time you're around. Walking, talking pile of coronavirus. That's not a phrase I thought I'd use today. I think if I had a cough or if I was ill, I will wear one, like when I'm out and about, because it seems like a good idea. And we turn our attention, actually, before I get to Speedy Japanese, if any of you guys listening in wear masks or hate masks, let us know your thoughts. It'd be quite interesting to hear how you feel about them. Do you think they're actually useful? Do you like to wear them? Do you dislike them? How do you feel about them? Let us know at brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Now let's turn our attention to Speedy Japanese. And it is a Speedy Japanese episode this week because we've only got two words that I can think of. The first one is the very item we've just been talking about. Mask. What is mask in Japanese, Pete? Do you know?
Oh, it sounds quite... I mean, it feels quite Japanesey, so I haven't got a bloody clue, to be honest.
I'll give you a clue. It sounds a lot like mask.
Oh, masaku. It'd be masaku then.
There you go. It's a foreign borrowed word, so it is masaku, masaku, masaku. Someone's going to kill me for my pronunciation there, but if you turn up to Japan and you say, masaku, then you probably get the mask you deserve. Yeah, it's literally just masuku, 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 masuku. What about fight? We talked about it's not really a fight. The Japanese boss punching his 20-year-old employee in the face. To call that a fight is a stretch of the imagination. But nevertheless, what's the verb to fight? Do you know that, Pete?
I don't know, Chris. You're going to have to educate me on this one.
I thought we might know that one. Kenkasuru.
Kenkasuru.
They fought. What's the best way to memorise that? Kenkasuru.
Ken from Street Fighter 2, having a scrap. Kenka.
That is the best one yet.
I was watching a wrestler and he said, Nani Dakara or Dakara Nani. So what? Is that what that means?
Yeah, basically. So what?
So what? That's a bit of speedy Japanese I've learnt this week because I heard a wrestler shout.
Perfect.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
You can say, yeah, Dakaranani. And then you can be like, right, Kenkashimashou. Let's have a fight. Now you know all the phrases, Pete.
Some woman in the crowd went, I'm from Oregon. And he goes, Dakaranani.
Some useful vocabulary there. And now we turn our attention to the fax machine. What do we got this week, Mr. Donaldson?
Our first email / fax comes from Sam in a beautiful, picturesque Inverness. Hi, Chris and Pete. I've been listening to your podcast right since the start, and I love it. I'm a freelance drummer based in Scotland. Until all the COVID shite, my job meant that I got to travel a lot, and your podcast was my favourite thing to listen to on the road. Now it's my favourite thing to listen to at home while I'm tidying up after my wife is in the kitchen. My wife is lovely, but she really has an annoying habit of scraping cooked egg off her frying pan and into the kitchen sink, which then I have to pick out of the plug hole with a knife. In an event to vent my frustration at her, I like to shout egg pan at the top of my voice. I don't know why, but it works and I feel better. Anyway, it's starting to annoy my wife, so I wanted to ask you what egg pan would be in Japanese so that I can shout that instead and she doesn't know what I'm shouting. Thanks in advance, Sam, in Inverness. Enjoyable.
That is one of my... I'm glad you read that out, because I think I just laughed my head off. That was brilliant. Do you know what egg pan is in Japanese? Let's see if your Japanese skills live up to their name, live up to the legend.
Now what's that? Is that egg character that's very, very popular? Guritama. Tama is egg. I don't know that much.
Well, yeah, pretty much. Tamago is egg.
Tamago.
Like Tamagotchi, right?
Tamagotchi, that's in the shape of an egg, isn't it? Yeah, right, okay.
Egg toy. And what about pan, frying pan? See if you can get that.
Fry pan.
Hey!
Tamago fry pan!
This is amazing. You've solved the case. It is literally Tamago fry pan. So there you go, Sam and Inverness. You can take your shouting, you can shout at your wife
pan egg
with some Japanese now.
Beautiful. Love it.
Give a little demonstration, Pete. What will Sam be shouting at his wife?
Tamago fry pan!
Hey, there you go.
You got to do it like that.
Got to do it in that exact tone. Brilliant. Yeah. Thanks, Sam. Good luck. And sorry about the egg pan situation. I hope it improves. Yeah. Got one from Viet from the Czech Republic. Hey, Chris and Pete. After listening to last week's podcast, I just had to react. I'm happy to confirm that the pizza vending machine is still alive and kicking, or rather baking. Yeah. In Hiroshima, it was just behind the corner from my hostel, about 10 minutes on foot from the atomic bomb dome, or 3 minutes from Okonomiyaki Mura. Here is the location. He's given a little link. Thanks for your hard work during this challenging time. I've been listening to the podcast the whole time I was studying in Niigata Prefecture, thus reaching the 4D experience. Awesome. There's no better way to enjoy the Abroad Japan podcast than actually being in Japan. After finishing my studies, I travelled for 1 month and made my way from Kanazawa to Kagoshima before everything went to crap. Sadly, before that, my flight back to Czech Republic was cancelled, and though being stuck in Japan sounds exciting, my thinning budget says otherwise. Luckily, the hostel I'm staying in offered me accommodation for free, and after telling my story to a lady in a nearby supermarket, she even gave me a huge chicken cutlet for free. The very last plane to Prague flies out on Friday, so hopefully it won't get cancelled. Otherwise, I'm screwed. Stay safe. All the best. Viet from Czech Republic. Wow. That is, it's quite the adventurous story.
Quite
what's your take on it?
Well, I mean, my first take is obviously Okonomiyaki Mura. What the hell is that? It's just big place that sells that?
It's a little... Well, it's a building that has like 25 Okonomiyaki restaurants in it. I actually put it in my Hiroshima video because whenever I'm in Hiroshima, I always go there because Hiroshima-style pancakes are amazing, way better than Osaka pancakes. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And yeah, I always recommend it. It's great. If you like Okonomiyaki, best place ever. What I'll say is maybe you and Viet were in Niigata at the same time because you were in Niigata just 2 or 3 months ago, weren't you?
Actually, yeah, you might have been, yeah. At the same time. Yeah. He's decided not.
Did you get a free chicken cutlet like Viet did?
No. I mean, is it uncooked, cooked? I can't figure it out. I mean, like, it's. I mean, how huge could a chicken cutlet be? How big is this chicken? That's what I want to know.
That is the question of the week. Yeah, don't know. But what I do know is that is nice. I do worry for foreigners, like, trapped in Japan right now. So you're really lucky, Viet, that you found a hostel that was kind enough to let you stay for free because, obviously... businesses across the country are being hit right now because of the situation. But I hope you are able to get back on that flight to Czech Republic. Let us know next week. Give us another, like, drop us another line at the fax machine. Let us know if you did get back to Czech Republic safe and sound. Chicken cutlet in hand. Best of luck to you. We've got one from Sophie. I'll let you read that one out, Pete, while I sip my coffee.
Oh, hello, Sophie. It's 8 o'clock at night, for crying out loud. Good evening, Chris and Pete. Crete. my name is Sophie. I'm from none other than the UK, the slightly strange side, Yorkshire, beautiful part of the UK. I recently returned to the UK after a memorable stint teaching in South Korea. I chose to teach here because it tends to pay more than Japan, and you normally get an apartment thrown in too, unlike Japan. One thing I did notice about Korea is that if you're a foreign country, good luck finding a non-English teaching job. This doesn't seem the same in Japan. I've seen non-Japanese working left, right and centre. What would you say are the most common vacancies in Japan for foreigners? And how about those with degrees, etc.? Kind regards, Sophie, from Yorkshire. Kamsahamnida, Yorkshire, Sophie.
What was going on there? What is that? Is that some...
I said thank you in Korean.
Right. You know Korean.
Ted done it. Comes from there. I think that's how you say it.
Don't know. I'd like to know some Korean. Like I often hear it in K-pop music. I don't know what's going on.
I was playing a video game, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. There was a special version of that game that was only released in Korea, and it had like this terrible. It had this K-pop band that they replaced some of the characters with. So you could skate around the classic levels of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 with just these K-pop idols, you know, dressed as school kids, with the most emotional K-pop music going around. It was so awful.
Good old K-pop. When I was a teacher again, my students. Fun fact: I'd say my students actually preferred Korean pop music, K-pop, to J-pop, despite the language and cultural differences. I mean, it's a little bit more edgy than J-pop. J-pop's a little bit more unique and cute and bizarre, and I can't wrap my head around it, to be honest, but K-pop seems to be pretty popular in Japan. Going off on a tangent though, jobs for people that isn't teaching, non-English teaching job, it's a tough one. A lot of my friends, after finishing teaching, they move to Tokyo and become recruitment consultants. Either you like it or you don't. It's good money to be made, but I think that's about it. Yeah, right. I don't know. It's a tough one. Some of my friends moved into media and doing social media stuff and working for the tourism sector because obviously Japan's trying to attract as many foreigners as possible to come over and, you know, get stuck in. And so that's one option, working in the tourism sector or working in recruitment. Honestly, it's a tough one though. I was lucky I escaped that by doing YouTube, but we'll do an episode on that later on down the line, talking a bit more about it, because I need to do some more research. It would be good to do like a consensus on Twitter or something and actually hear stories from people around the country, what they're doing. And if you're listening to this, guys, living in Japan, working in Japan, and you're not working in the teaching sector, let us know what you're doing, because I'm keen to find out just as much as anyone what options are available to people coming to live and work in Japan? But good question, Sophie. Hopefully we can address it in a bit more depth later on down the line. We've got one now from Kim from Australia. She says, hello, Chris and Pete. In a time far from now, when the apocalypse is over, I'll be coming to Japan to visit my daughter who lives in Tokyo. Hi, Claire. As much as I love travelling by the Japanese rail system, I'm keen to get off the main routes and hire a car to see a few back roads. The international driver's license and the hiring of a car doesn't faze me, but I do have concerns that I will not be able to read the road signs and directives. Is it a problem for your regular run-of-the-mill English speaker? How are tolls calculated for hire cars? And are there dodgy car hire companies of the like that occur in Western countries? My only complaint about the Abroad in Japan podcast is that I'm wishing my life away in anticipation of the release of the next episode every Thursday. I'm forever hanging on to hear Pete say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Much love to you both, Kim from Australia. What does that mean, Pete? Is that something you say? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's my catchphrase, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's like yeah, yeah. I think it's, yeah, yeah. I was getting no confused with house. Remember, I think that's what it's about.
I thought your catchphrase was hugely or massively, or just that.
Yeah. That's just my. Well, the way that we sort of record, you're miles away from me, so I kind of have to keep the conversation flowing without actually getting involved properly. So I'm just sort of going, uh-huh, yep, yep.
Hugely.
Super great, uh-huh, hugely.
Massively. Secrets of the trade there, ladies and gentlemen. Driving in Japan, Pete hasn't done it, unfortunately. So my two cents on that is it's actually pretty easy to rent a car in Japan. I used to do it all the time. Now that I've got my car coming sometime soon to an apartment near me, I will be able to not do that anymore. But the last three years, I've rented cars dozens of times. It's very effortless. Only thing is, a lot of the websites are only in Japanese, but the car company I probably recommend is Nippon Rent-A-Car. For English speakers, they do have a service where you can type in like what car you want, when you want it, where you want it, and they'll sort it out and handle it all for you. So that's a good option. And how are tolls calculated for hire cars? Basically, highways in Japan, you kind
cash
of just
it.
Pay on the distance, yeah. Don't you? I mean, for one day, you're looking at between 6,000 to 7,000, 8,000 yen to rent a car, I'd say. And then toll roads, you know, there are a lot of highways that cost money in Japan, and that's a bit annoying, but you can avoid them. But I'd say there's not many dodgy car hire companies, though. I've never heard of a dodgy car hire company in Japan, so there's that to go on. It's kind of efficient and reliable. But yeah, my two cents, it's great to rent a car in Japan. It's very painless. It's quite effortless. Nippon Rent-A-Car. That's my best. Like, that's the best one I would go for. Recommend it. Good luck with that, though. And great idea, you know. Bits of Japan that you can only see by car. There's so many places that you can't get to if you don't have a car. So I think it's a great idea. I think it'll make a world of difference to your trip. Have a great time in Japan and enjoy seeing your daughter, Claire. Best of luck to you, Kim. Have a good one. We've got one from Mike. I'll let you handle that, Pete, as I take a final swig of my coffee.
Oh, the coffee's gone. Hello to Mike. Hello, Chris and Pete. Greetings from New Hampshire, USA. I've been listening to the podcast and YouTube channel for a while now, and despite Pete's predictions of lower ratings, I've been eagerly awaiting each podcast and listening to old ones in between. You and Pete always manage to make me laugh. Bless you, Mike. And after recently losing a grandparent to coronavirus, I'm thankful to have something to look forward to. My papu was pretty much indestructible. To over 90 years old, he was still out riding his motorcycle around just this past summer. Out of Japan's large elderly population, can you think of one specific person who was intriguing or left a lasting impression on you? Terrible news, Mike, but thank you very much for listening to the podcast, and sorry for your loss.
Yeah, sorry to hear that, Mike. Sorry to hear that, mate. That's a good question, a really good question. There was one guy who was amazing, and that is, you might have seen, a few years ago I did a video called Teaching Japanese People Swear Words, and there was a guy in it, Ito-sensei, and he opened the video by reading the line, for fuck's sake, sake, he read it as for fuck's sake, which is awesome. Awesome, honest mistake on his part, which later became a T-shirt. But he was my teacher. He taught me Japanese every Wednesday in my second and third year living in Japan. We became quite good friends. We used to hang out. We used to go out for a drink once a month. He was a really nice guy. He must have been in his mid-70s. And then I moved to Sendai And I didn't see him for 2 or 3 years. And I kept planning to go and see him. I kept planning to go back and see him. And then one day I heard that he'd passed away. And I only heard about his funeral the day before it happened. And I wasn't able to get to it. And it's one of those situations where I've lived with a sense of regret for not going back and seeing him in those 2 or 3 years. You know, I feel very, very stupid of me not to have gone back and seen him. But he left a lasting impression. We used to have some great chats and he was a really great guy. I'd go there. We'd supposed to learn some Japanese out of the textbook, but instead we'd just end up talking in English, about his stories and his past and his history. And, you know, I enjoyed that more than learning Japanese, to be honest. So great guy, Ito Sensei. If you want to see who he is, check out the teaching swear words video. His legacy lives on, right. But great guy. And sorely missed. Well, how about you, Pete? Anyone in your
life? I guess I have very, very few, very few connections to any elderly people in Japan, because I'm just kind of skirting around and flying around. So probably not. But I think if this pandemic has taught us anything, is to cling on to the things that really matter. I guess.
Absolutely, and I've certainly been talking to my family quite a lot. You know, even though I'm a world away, people often say, you know, do you feel homesick? Do you feel bad not being near your family? Well, I can't go and visit them anyway at the moment, but it's,
yeah, exactly.
You know, I've never felt that they're that far away just because of the internet. You know, you can pull out your phone in the middle of nowhere and I can just talk to my gran or my mum or my dad effortlessly in a way that you couldn't 10, 20 years ago. So, yeah, it really doesn't feel like they're that far away. So I'd say to people coming to Japan who are worried about feeling homesick, you can get around that thanks to the miracle of the internet. Anyway, thanks for that, Mike. Best of luck to you, mate. Hi, gents. We've got another mic here. So lots of mics today. Hi, gents. I recently moved to Yokohama and studied extensively using the podcast and the channel. And I discovered that you haven't visited Yokohama or Kawasaki City. Any plans to? Ooh. I would figure the second largest city in Japan would welcome your presence, or at least Ryotaro's. Best to Pete. Love the work, Mike. Best to Pete. Not to me. I'm heartbroken.
Yeah.
Lucky you. Yokohama or Kawasaki? You've been to them? You've seen them? You've been there? You've done it?
Have I been? Yes, I think I have been to both, actually. Yeah, Kanagawa. Yeah, I think I've been. I've been to Yokohama, Kanazawa. Yes, and I have been to Kanazawa. I've been to both those places. Thank you very much. So I win this one.
You lose, Pete. Kanazawa is not Kawasaki. Ha ha ha. Kawasaki is not in Kanazawa.
Oh, sorry, Kawasaki. Yeah, no, I've not been to Kawasaki.
There you go. I've been to Yokohama. Yokohama's cool. I've been to Chinatown. Yeah. They've got the gigantic skyscraper, the Landmark Tower, that's it. It looks like a gigantic chess piece. Looks like a castle out of a chessboard. Right. It's one of my favourite building in Japan. I love Yokohama, but you're right, I haven't really sunk my teeth into it other than the food of Chinatown. I'd love to do something in Chinatown. But as for the rest of Yokohama, I haven't really explored it enough. My friends always try to encourage me to go to a British pub that's there that does really good cider, apparently. Right. I've been meaning to go and try it for myself, given that I do love cider. But yeah, something to look into later on down the line. I would love to go to Yokohama and do a video on it. It's one of the last places that remains untouched by the Abroad in Japan channel. So let's do it. And maybe next time you're over, Pete, we can go and check it out.
Have a cider, even though I don't really like it.
You don't like cider? Why not? Sort it out.
It's nothing to it. Nothing to it. It's booze for kids.
I'm gonna have to leave. You have to leave this podcast before.
Outrageous.
Shit hits the fan. For now, though, guys, keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. No matter where you might be out there in the big wide world right now, please take care, stay safe this week, and thanks as always for listening. People aren't listening to podcasts as much at the moment because they're not commuting, so do keep listening in. Otherwise, well, we'll be here no matter what happens, but do stay tuned in. But for now, have a great week, guys. Stay indoors, stay safe, and we're back next Thursday to do it all over again. Take care.
Bye bye.
Cheese and biscuits time. Crack out the crackers. We'll be right back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.